Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here to have another conversation I'm hoping helps your business grow. If you want your business to grow, you probably need to give some time and consideration to how you can unleash employee engagement. There's a lot to unpack there, and we're going to try to get it all in to today's episode, which is powered by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult, and Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably, and has the platform to help you manage that team. Go to Fullscale.io to learn more. Joining me for today's conversation is Nancy Lyons. Nancy is the CEO and founder at Clockwork. You can go to clockwork.com. There's a link for that in the show notes. It's right next to the Full Scale link. Why don't you just go ahead and scroll on down to that and click both of them? You know what we're talking about a little bit. Straight out of one of the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Nancy, welcome to Startup Hustle.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation. We've done a lot at Full Scale to increase employee engagement. We even have an employee engagement manager. So, but where I'd really like to start the conversation is learning a little bit more about your backstory and your journey that brought you to us today.
Well, thanks. I always appreciate telling the story because it's a sort of non-traditional path. But I never thought that I would spend my entire career working in technology. I actually thought I was going to be an actor or a comic. So go figure. And interestingly enough, you know, when I started working in this space, a lot of my colleagues were musicians and artists as well. So, you know, I've been working in technology since the 90s. I actually just yesterday was talking to somebody, cause I was doing dinner theater at night. And I was working at an early internet service provider by day. And it was, in fact, an internet service provider that I ended up being the president of and that we sold. But it was a premier residential provider in the Twin Cities. And it was, you know, it was before the big telcos came and monopolized the entire game. And we started building websites in 1995. So that's how long I have been doing this work, since most people that I talk to on a daily basis were zygotes. We sold that company. We built websites for BASF and M&M Mars and Miller Coors. And then that company was acquired in 2001. And in 2002, we started Clockwork. And Clockwork is a experience design and technology consultancy. And we work with a wide number of corporate enterprises, ranging from companies like Optum to Ameriprise to Mercury Marine to United Health Group. We spend a lot of time in regulated industries. So we work with financial services, healthcare, manufacturing, and insurance a lot. Super exciting business. But we're helping, you know, a lot of these organizations that are regulated who have sort of been slow to adopt technology shift. And I, my business partners and I self-taught, you know, like I said, I was gonna be an actor and I decided to learn Perl one day because that's what you do. And really developed a theoretical understanding of how the business is going to work and was able to get involved in that internet service provider and shift into digital creation, design, development. And then once that was acquired, Clockwork became sort of our central focus. We also have another studio called Tempo, and Tempo is low code, no code, agile. As you're probably aware, the business that we're in right now can sort of plod along because big companies move slower. And Tempo is really exists to serve startups and small to mid-size organizations who are dealing with more pressure to actually just get it done and get out there to launch.
Okay. Now, you know, you mentioned you thought you would be a comic. I would probably not be fair to you or the listening audience to not share a couple of the dad jokes that I wrote about entrepreneurship.
Yes, I would love to hear them. I would feel cheated if I didn't.
And I know, I was like, I this is the perfect chance. So, you know, I wrote my pitch deck in Braille. I'm going to get funded. I can feel it.
All right. I'll give it to you. That's good. Yeah.
I mean, they're dad jokes. Like,
you acknowledge that right out of the gate. Here, I appreciate it.
Okay. So I asked the venture capitalist when I'd get funded and he said March 1st. So I walked around the office and I asked again.
I like it.
All right, I've got 20 of these, but if you want to hear the rest of them, go find me on social media because I did publish them. Some of them have been big hits. So, you know, the last thing I wanted to share is, you know, I have a fear of elevator pitches, and so I'm taking steps to avoid them.
Oh, I think it's early, and there I appreciate them.
Stay tuned, listeners. I might break out some more of these. So anyway, you know, yeah. I mean, and yesterday I got back to the office and I found my co-founder had been on eBay all day. I mean, if I find him tomorrow, I'm going to lower the price. I'll lower the price. Yeah. So, okay. All right. There's one more. My investor says I have two major faults. I don't listen, and there was another one. All right, that's enough. Anyway, back to employee engagement. Yeah, I mentioned that the employee engagement's an important thing, and thank you for listening to my jokes. Hopefully, you all. I felt the clapping of listeners around the world there. But no, but when you talk about, when I think about employee engagement for us at Full Scale, we're just a little context, software development. We have 325 employees, most of which are in the Philippines. And then March 2020 occurred and they sent everyone home to go work. With that, the in-office culture and everything that we had spent years developing and making awesome was useless. It wasn't the same. It required a whole different thing. So we created a position for employee engagement and for a couple different reasons. One, health, mental health. You know, people were basically during the pandemic, you know, locked in their homes, and it was kind of a lonely existence. And also we wanted to create a sense of community virtually, which evolved in some other things too. Like, you know, we do quarterly events that do get people together in person. We still are remote only, but you know, the employee engagement programs, I think, had a lot to do. So in 2022, the Wall Street Journal had deemed that the year of the resignation, but we had a 93% employee retention rate, which is huge in any year. And we feel that the employee engagement efforts, which are everything from contests, clubs, different things that are just kind of getting people involved and creating a sense of community, were really important. Now, I know that the word tribes is on the naughty list for use for a lot of people. But there is a book called Tribes by Seth Godin, which is all about creating a sense of community. And I've read it, and I think it's a very important thing because by doing effective employee engagement, you should also be, in my opinion, be working on getting them to engage with each other. If you can create that sense of community, now Seth Godin uses the example of the Grateful Dead, which I think is a great example because people followed that band all around the world. And if you've ever went, and I'm old enough to have gone to a Grateful Dead concert, half the people were there for the parking lot and half of them are there for the show. But that gives you a good example of the tribe find, if you can get people, if people find as much value in interacting with them, each other in the community, that becomes a more powerful draw than the main attraction that's on the stage, which could be the company or the founder or like something you're, or maybe even the product that you're working on. So, I mean, how do you feel about all that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we have sort of applied a really shallow definition to this idea of engagement when it comes to employees. You know, engagement is send them a survey once a week, ask them how they're doing. Engagement is, you know, I mean, when we were all in the same place, it was, you know, we got caught up in gimmicks, put soda in the fridge and tell them it's free. That's engagement. And I think, you know, it's much more nuanced than that. And it's also two way. It's not, we don't just engage them. They must be engaging and they must recognize their responsibility in engaging each other. So I am with you in that. I think that engagement is something we have to invest in. Engagement is something we get to explicitly ask for. And I think as organizations, we have to decide what that looks like. So, you know, I talk about engagement in a really different way because I know a lot of folks that talk about engagement are talking about, you know, what can we do to make them happy? And I think especially in smaller organizations like yours and mine, you know, not tiny, but small compared to, you know, the big corporate entities, I think we can have an expectation of participation in culture and in the health of the organization and in that connective tissue that keeps people coming back. Cause they might see you or me, they might hear your podcast and say, I got to apply for a job here, but it's not you who's going to keep them. You know, it's the people they work with. It's how the organization shows up collectively that will attract them in the first place. So yeah, I think engagement is a much broader topic than we generally explore in these conversations.
Yeah, when I think about employee engagement, a weekly or monthly survey does not make my list. Like, that stuff's important, but that's more, that's HR data. That's not engagement. That's feedback from the community. Engaging is okay. So I had a heavy hand in the beginning of this, and then they kind of ran with it because engagement to me needed to be things that people wanted to do and things that we could do with each other that built a sense of team or whatever that, you know, like, and in a remote environment, like, okay, well, there was almost certainly someone that you met during the pandemic, you had a Zoom relationship or you had with them and you finally meet them in person. You're like, oh man, it's great to finally meet you. Changes the dynamic. That's an example of engagement, creating something where people can do that with each other. Now, part of what made me feel so strongly about this was I had been trying to recruit a senior manager to come from a company in the Philippines to work for our company in the Philippines. I just couldn't get this guy to come on board. And finally I messaged him. I'm like, just teach me. Why didn't you want to come? And you know what he said to me? He goes, well, you offered me significantly more money, but in the end he didn't want to quit his job because he played basketball on a team with a bunch of his friends. He didn't want to quit the team.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. That's like, to me, that was kind of wild. I was like, whoa, but it also really showed like his engagement and involvement with the other people that he worked with and the high value that was put on that. And like, think about that. That's a weird thing. Cause you're like, I offered him a significant pay increase. The benefits were better. You didn't want to leave for that reason. And you know, that's why I was like, man, I really wanted to get some things going that would make our employees like find more value other than just a paycheck. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, I think, you know, as leaders of organizations, we can set the voice and the tone, we can inspire and encourage, but we need, you know, it's interesting. I use this analogy and some people are like shocked by it, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and imagine that you won't be. I mean, I heard your dad jokes. I'm just going to say,
I've got another one.
Excellent. Let's close out with that. When we're all done, just lay it on us. We'll leave laughing.
Push it to the very end. Or wait till the last possible moment.
Or, you know, call me. Call me.
I get it. I see where you're at.
No, I actually enjoyed them. I laughed. I'm in. But I often compare work to cults. And hear me out here. That word cult, you know, so many people consume.
I'm nodding my head.
So many people consume true crime, and we're all much more familiar with so many cults, especially after the pandemic when, you know, podcasts were a huge form of entertainment and learning. And we see these leaders as being the instigators of the criminal activity. But the truth of the matter is, let's look at Jim Jones, for instance. Did you know that your podcast would take this turn today? Let's look at Jim Jones and...
We would be talking about Jonestown?
And Jonestown.
And the world's largest mass suicide? Sure.
Just call Nancy Lyons. Yeah. If you want to get sensational, call me. But when we look at that, you know, tragic as that story is... Jim Jones set the stage, but the other cult members were the ones who made the Kool-Aid, who served the Kool-Aid, and who forced the Kool-Aid on the victims of that horrible event. And I think that's and then themselves. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's a perfect illustration of how unhealthy cultures work at work. You know, the CEO can be can set the tone and in fact can be inspiring and can be, you know, somebody who encourages progressive thinking in the workplace and can have embraced all the new ways of working. But if in the, you know, the layers of the organization, there exist people with influence who continue to sort of do things the way they always were, they've always been done, or continue to lament, you know, the past and continue to try to connect with it, we're not going to change. We're not going to create a healthier culture. They're going to continue to point backward. And, you know, they feel better with the past. The past is known. The future is unknown. That makes people anxious. And, I we hear it everywhere. I mean, I was just saying to my dad the other day when we were having this uncomfortable political conversation that, you know, the reason that we look backward to the good old days is because it's known, we're familiar with it. But then I asked him, you know, he's an 85-year-old man. I said, but Dad, when were the good old days? Was it during the Depression? Was it during, you know, the Korean War? Was it when, during the Civil Rights Movement? Was it in the, when were the good old, what was actually so good that there was no, you know, there were no horror stories, there was no discomfort, there was no poverty? Actually, never. And yet we romanticize backwards. And I think that's true of work. I think that's true of organizations. That's why we keep having these conversations about where we should work instead of how we should work, right? And I think the how involves more people inside of the organization, more active conversations, more explicit requests. I think the how is far more complicated and requires people's participation to explore, to determine, to define, and to work.
Yeah, they got to feel good about it. So I'll share another employee engagement thing that accomplishes more than just employee engagement. We actually created a holiday, an in-house holiday that we call Outreach Day, where our admin staff spends quite a bit of effort finding a number of charitable causes or community things that we can do. And we give everybody a day off to go participate in that if they want. And it's a big thing at our company. And now imagine 300 people showing up and so that accomplishes a number of things. One, they get to engage with each other. And then that's like the third stage, meaning that's not even the main event. The main event is feeling like they're giving back and then doing it within their own communities. So this year, we planted hundreds of trees. We cleaned up like a mile of beach. We installed solar panels at schools that were off grid. And we also had an animal rescue where we showed up and just did a bunch of work and, you know, cleaned out, painted, did a bunch of stuff like that. And we adopted an eagle in that same thing. I didn't even realize we had, but we spun that into, the reason I mentioned that is we spun that into an employee engagement contest where we did a reductive process to name an eagle. Which got named C Sharp, coding software, which was a great name for an eagle. And we announced that at the company Christmas party. So you see, you know, you can get these things that kind of tie into each other. And I think that, I don't know, I pride myself at being able to create quality hype mm-hmm. on some days, but that's what it is. You got to get people involved with it. And I think that one of the, you know, later when we did an actual HR type anonymous employee engagement and feedback survey, we got overwhelming amounts of comments about how that our employees felt like the company cared about them and also cares about the community it operates in. And they feel they have a sense of pride to work for a company that comes in and contributes to the well-being of the local community. Now, keep in mind, in the Philippines, that's over the, you know, the course of many of our employees' lifetimes. They've also watched or still do watch a lot of exploitation type stuff where foreign companies or companies come in and want to exploit the local resources or people. We're on the opposite end of that. We're trying to disrupt that. And like I said, you get into that and people feel really good about it. I think the thing is if your employees feel good and take a pride, have a sense of pride in where they work and who they work with and that culture, man, there's a lot of power.
Oh, for sure.
In that. It's a lot. It's a very powerful outcome. So, I got to do some work for a second here. I got to remind everyone as I talk about the company that if you need to find expert software developers, that doesn't need to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io, where you can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Go to fullscale.io to learn more. As a reminder, with me today is Nancy Lyons, the CEO and founder at Clockwork. You can go to clockwork.com to learn more about what they are up to. There's a link for that in the show notes. And then I think I would probably be best to tell you another joke right now because I've got that many just ready to go. Nancy, do you know why the startup founder's office was always a mess?
I don't.
He was too busy disrupting to clean up.
I keep giving it to you. It's early. I keep enjoying these. I have to admit. Nice work.
Well, you know, I mean, with that, I asked my co-founder to embrace his mistakes and he gave me a hug.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I get it.
So now look, I'm telling goofy dad jokes, but you know, these are also these kind of things. Now, I don't know if telling jokes, because that can go a lot of bad ways for you if you're telling jokes to your you know, community of workers. But I think as a leader that it's important to, I've made a lot of effort to be at operate at on the same level with my employees, meaning you don't work for me, you work with me. And I think that is a dynamic and look, I think a lot of CEOs and leaders say that. I think that very few of them actually mean it. You know, I get that feedback that, you know, so I'll give you an example. When we first started operating in the Philippines and, you know, we had 100 employees after a year, so pretty rapidly growing right away. And then I would go and I would sit there. I would go talk to every single person. And then after I left, we'd do kind of a quick survey about the management interaction. And they get this overwhelming response that said, to paraphrase all of them, said, I can't believe the CEO spent as much time talking to us as he did. And my first reaction to that was, where have you been working? You know, now look, if you're at Apple, I can't expect Tim Cook to interact with 400,000 employees or however many they have, but there are ways to do that aren't maybe personal interaction. Like one of the things that I do is every quarter I send out a video update, and it's just me in my podcast studio, I turn on the same camera and I record an update about it. And then, you know, a couple times a year too, I send out a form that basically says, what do you want? You know, I do kind of a town hall type format, which my employees have learned that I'll answer most questions they submit, and they have some fun with that too. I think one of the more interesting ones was, Matt, do you drink? Want to get wasted? I was like, okay, you know, you get some of that, but you know, but I think that by putting those kind of questions out there and then answering them in a transparent, candid way, you know, the pandemic was really where I first started doing that, because I didn't really have a way to interact with the people in person. And then I was like, huh, this is a very effective way to do it, especially. And then you want to get them to engage with the actual video, put the question, answer the questions they have. And, you know, you get a really good sense of what's going well, what isn't, and what's important to people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you and I are cut from a similar cloth, and I imagine some of that is sort of the Gen X CEO, you know, thinking. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and imagine we're in the same generation. but I also think
we're young, early 20s,
that's what I
right?
meant. I'm 100% Z. I feel the same way in that, I do feel like, I owe people my time and attention, and, you know, whatever that looks like. Like, in fact, we're having an all staff next week, so we're flying people in. We're mostly remote. We do have a building. It's sort of an iconic building. It's an old service station in Minneapolis that we've redone. And, it's kind of fun. And so we're flying people in for a 2-day all staff on site. And the entire agenda came out of my one-on-ones with the whole staff. The things that I'm thinking. So what I heard was the pandemic got us away from sort of a cross organization agreement on standards of excellence. So we're going to define those. But the other thing that we're going to, you know, and so we're having meetings to sort of review some of the things that came up pretty regularly in those conversations. But the other thing that I've challenged them to, and I just had a one-on-one with my COO yesterday to work out the logistics of this and the outline for it. But we're going to have a design thinking workshop where we explore the future culture of Clockwork. So one thing that I've recognized and that I heard from so many people, and I'm sorry, can you hear my dog? Because of course he's been sleeping all day, but right now he's at my ankles. Like, are you going to feed me? Why are you talking? Who are you talking to?
I cannot, but now
if you do hear him, I'm actually, I'm out of town. And so that's why there's this weird backdrop here. But anyway, what I hear from them is what I feel that I think a lot of people feel, and that is we are exhausted from Zoom, right? We are having meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting on Zoom. And we have, and so the way we've compensated for not being near each other is, and you know, we've always had remote workers, so that's not new, but now we have more. I actually got another building at one point in my career because I used to say, if you people didn't like each other, we wouldn't need more space because you'd stay home like normal people. And that is employee engagement. And we're coming together next week to talk about how can we, you know, examine how we work, explore new ways of creating that connective tissue and that culture, you know, that sort of cultural tissue. And then how can we do that without creating more opportunity for meetings? You know, because we're exhausted. So how can we get better at working asynchronously? And how can we really think actively about what the culture needs instead of saying, well, you know what we need is each other. Let's go back to the office. Instead of doing that, like everybody else, we really want to challenge ourselves to think more out of the box. And I'm kind of excited about the results. But then the other thing that I'm doing, that I think is important, you know, Clockwork is different because we're a technology consultancy, but we have a change practice. Because most organizations, when they invest in technology, it fails because they're not taking the people along with them. So we really work hard to take the people along with our clients. And that's something that we're going to do with ourselves next week. But out of this, we're hoping to have a template for a workshop that we can use with our clients and beyond to help them push themselves out of the where will we work and start asking the questions about how they're going to work, that may be different, that speaks to what the future is looking like or what direction we're headed in. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, you know, there's so many situations where I don't know, I look at like, you know, the show Silicon Valley that was on HBO for years did a really effective job of making fun of the Silicon Valley type workplace where everywhere they went, it was like, do we have more sushi chefs? We have more bowling alleys. It was more, you talk about how we're going to work. I would look at some of that stuff and be like, if we're going to work, you know, so some of that, I think that it's not necessarily about how many ping pong tables or air hockey tables or pinball machines you have in the office or sushi chefs. Cause I mean, sure, that stuff's nice and it's fun. You might find that you might get more community and employee engagement if you hand out brown bag lunches and give people a picnic table to sit at. You know, there's a million things. And when it comes to definition of a company's culture, I'm personally a strong believer that it can and should be defined and created by the community itself in some regards. Like if it's just about what your big grand idea is as the CEO and you have hundreds of employees, then that's a selfish approach. Like, you know, I don't like the idea of employee engagement shouldn't always all be around work engagement. Like I mentioned, like doing these quarterly team bonding events. I mean, those aren't like sitting down and doing a workshop, and I'm not trying to pick on workshops.
No, I totally agree.
Making one, but you know, those are important, but I think it's important to do stuff like, okay, so in the Philippines, karaoke is huge. And I have had amazing fun and engaged with my employees singing karaoke. And I'm not like a big karaoke guy. I do have the voice of an angel.
I can tell.
But I don't unleash it. But I did, you know? And so with that, but it's back to that, like from, and I'm just speaking more from the leadership perspective. Like, yeah, you just have a different job than these people do at your company. And I think that goes a long way. And I recently purchased a farm just south of Kansas City, and I built a little half court basketball court just recently for me and my kids. And, you know, I was so impressed with the guy that built it because, you know, he had a big crew of people and he was the first one there and the last one out every day. Now, he also engaged with his employees by helping him do work. I saw him on the sides, like doing other stuff and getting to know people. And, you know, and where I'm going with this is sometimes employee engagement can actually be done from the leadership perspective by showing up and doing the job with them for a few minutes. I've done that for every job we have at Full Scale. Like, and it, like, they were shocked to see me dragging trash bags out of the office one day. Now, look, some of that I do to help, but I don't think if you get out of touch with the job that all the people need to do at the company that you founded or run, you don't really have a good perspective on it. Now, I could tell that the guy that was laying concrete, that is so much different than building software, you know, but I could tell that the employees really engaged with him and were like, I could just sense it because he wasn't just showing up and barking a couple commands and then leaving, you know, and like, and some people think that's a form of engagement. It's not, you know, it's like, I mean, there's a lot of ways to you know, to get through that. Now, you know, speaking of bad culture, did you hear why all of the employees at the soda startup?
I did not.
It was so depressing to work there.
Wow.
Yeah, I artfully set that up and then, yeah. Wow.
Yes, I mean, it's your podcast, man.
I may change the title of this to be, you know, Unleashing Employee Engagement and a Great and a Bad Side of Dad Jokes.
I like it.
But, You unleashed that. Did this to everyone else. So either thank Nancy or get mad at her, but direct all the comments to her. Nancy Lyon. She's on LinkedIn.
Yes.
And she's written some books. She's written some books too. Right? Why don't we go ahead and you want to tell everyone what those books are? We shouldn't have made it to the 33rd minute without doing that. But I found them on Amazon.
I co-wrote a book about essentially digital project management with a human-centered lens. And it's a, that book's been a slow burn. It's been around for a while, actually, but I think it's great for people who are making a shift mid-career or people who are curious about how to create digital product. It's called Interactive Project Management, People, Pixels, and Process. And it's used as a textbook in colleges, but it's not nearly that dry. But the book that a lot of people are appreciating right now, and I appreciate that they appreciate, it's called Work Like a Boss. And the subtitle is A Kick in the Pants Guide to Finding and Using Your Power at Work. And really what we're talking about when we talk about engagement in the workplace is that power, is the idea that most folks, when they apply for a job, they look at that job description, they say, that's what I'm going to do. And, when we think about even the global conversation about work, I think a lot of people had an existential crisis during the pandemic and they're asking themselves, like, what am I doing this for? What's it all for? Do I have a purpose? And then a lot of folks' solution coming out of that is, you know what? I'm only going to do what they paid. This is only what they paid me to do. I'm only going to check these boxes. They're not going to get any more from me. I'm tired. Well, we're all tired. But I also think that work is more challenging and more interesting if you go all in and if you look outside of your job description to see where you can add value. And I think where people get confused is when I say add value, I'm not saying work more, work harder, exhaust yourself. I'm saying add value, think differently, solve problems, take initiative, take risk. And I think the average employee, and again, I don't call my own colleagues employees because that's uncomfortable for me. But I do think when we're casting sort of this wide net, when we talk about employees, the average employee really takes from a job description what the expectations of them are. But the most valuable people, especially now when we're seeing technology conversations bubble up, when we're seeing people scared of, AI and what it's going to do to their job, we need engaged folks, not people who, and you mentioned this earlier, when you were talking about, ping pong in our industry and foosball, like I used to say all the time that people imagine we're just having a party every day. We're on skateboards and we're playing ping pong and we're actually not working at all. But I think that's because our culture really confuses gimmicks with culture. And I think culture is much more intentional and setting those expectations and hiring high performers who are interested in being more hybrid and not just fitting in a happy little box with a label. Those are the people that have really ambitious futures to look forward to. And I think the people that need to be afraid of AI are the people who don't think outside of their job descriptions. And that's really what my book, Work Like a Boss, encourages people to do. Yeah.
If your skill set's so limited that AI can replace you like that, then you need to work on your skill set. I mean, it's like, I've had a lot of people, being in the software development business, people are asked, they're like, what do you think about AI? Is it going to replace developers? Not anytime soon. And probably never, because there's just a lot of components to that that, now, do I think it'll be a tool that helps people do things better, faster, or cheaper? Absolutely. And now it's already happening. But, and that's a good thing, like you talk about, AI is going to end up doing the jobs that we struggle to find people to do anyway. Like I went to McDonald's last week and ordered from a full on AI everything. Like it was a robot in the window. And like, I mean, there at the, or not at the window, but at the stand. And I was like, oh, this is, I immediately thought, I was like, there's no way this is going to get right. So I was like trying to break it. Basically I was sitting there like changing my order and doing this and doing no pickles on that. Mm-hmm. And it nailed it. Now Why is that important? Because, you know, businesses like, and I don't have any vested interest in McDonald's success or failure. It's just, that's where I was when this occurred. But I know for a fact that they have a very difficult time finding people to mm-hmm. do some of those jobs right now. So, you know, a lot of it's also just repetitious stuff. And then, like, you know, I think that, you know, some of that stuff, there's tools that could make your job more attractive and better. Like, what do I use ChatGPT for? Like, give me a list of talking points. Give me some inspiration. I worked in the music industry for a while. I was talking to one of my buddies who was a rock star, or is, not was. And I was like, dude, have you tried AI for writing songs? He's like, no, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I was showing him GPT and I asked it to write me a country song that was based on the idea that I wanted my beer to be as cold as my ex-girlfriend's heart. And it wrote a hit. And it wrote a freaking hit. You know, and like, and that, but you know, that's the kind of stuff, like there's somewhere where you're stuck or you need leverage or inspiration. And my whole point for my musician friend was, dude, this is a muse in your pocket, you know? And like, you could even like, if you're trying to write, give me 20 things to write mm-hmm. a song about, I don't know, just see what happens. You only need to have one thing that pops to like mm-hmm. really be good. And, you know, so there's a lot of stuff out there. And like I said, these are things that can still be like employee engagement tactics. When you talk about the community, like, oh, I'm finding that my life is a lot easier and I'm having more fun at work because I'm using this tool to do mm-hmm. this.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of community is to make mm-hmm. the community better. Well, that's my point. So like some of these things can be added in there. By the way, do you know why the Beavers startup didn't get funded?
I do not.
No one could understand the damn business plan.
Was this all in a day's work, or did these come about over a period of time? Did you sit down with ChatGPT and craft these, or yeah?
I did not. I write better dad jokes for entrepreneurs than GPT, which is one of the few things that I found that I actually do better. No, I was recording short form content, mm-hmm. like videos and reels. And I was like, you know what? I kept seeing these two guys that were telling dad jokes. They're like sitting on a dock somewhere where you live, because I could see lakes mm-hmm. and snow and stuff like that. They just told really funny dad jokes. I was like, someone needs to do this. So yeah, I looked up a bunch of dad jokes and I read through hundreds of them. And when I saw one that could be converted, I did.
I like it.
So yeah, I'm running out of material, but I'm planning on going on tour because I feel like I got invited to like an investor, be a speaker at an investor thing. And I really threw him a curveball. I was like, I'll be a speaker, but I'm only going to tell dad jokes about entrepreneurship. And they're like, what? And I was like, because by the time you get to me at 3 p.m., everyone's going to be asleep. It's going to be the only way we're going to wake people up.
Well, you have good material. So, I like it. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. So these are partially stolen, but mainly revised. So, yeah. Did you also hear why the software developer took a better job at a food startup?
I did not.
The salary was
too
good.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Yeah, I
kind of ran. Did you hear about the startup that just kind of evaporated?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be missed. Hey, I sensed that I had a good audience with you to tell these jokes.
I feel like
thank
we bonded.
You for laughing at
I feel
them.
Like we bonded. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you told me you thought you'd be a comic, and I was immediately, I'm like looking on. I wrote most of these on January 14th of 2023, apparently.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then I'll give you one more. Did you, I mean, this one's a little sad, but did you hear why the startup founder's wife left? Mm-hmm. Someone had to eventually exit. Wait. I've been saving this. Yes. Ready? Here we go.
Nice.
Sound effect. I've got two of them in this platform. I've used them maybe three times in 1,200 episodes.
I am here for you.
There you go.
You can send me a thank you note.
I forgot mm-hmm. I had that.
Snail mail.
Yeah. I know. I forgot I had that.
Yeah.
I really did. I don't even know if there's any of it I've missed. I'm looking at this list and Oh, you know, Dublin, Ireland has been a real hot space for startups. I heard that all the valuations there are Dublin. Kind of blew that in the beginning. I wasn't supposed to say Dublin in the beginning, but yeah. I think that's all I got. I'm looking through this
I think
list.
You really, yeah. your strongest oh, yeah, material, yeah, you yeah. led with your strongest material, and now I think the expectation is that we're all drunk.
So mm-hmm. the bad ones mm-hmm. work. Yeah.
So I think you, I like the way yeah. you've lined I these up. Through it works.
I'm trying. I like the Braille that's one, the pitch brilliant. Deck in Braille. I'm going to get funded. Mm-hmm. I can feel it. Yeah, some people don't really, I don't know. I find that, I think the other one, I you have to think about it, was, you know, asking the venture capitalist mm-hmm. when I'd get funded.
Boom.
March 1st, I walked around the office and asked again. So, ba-bump, bump. So anyway, yeah, I'm officially out of material on that.
I'm glad I could help. Them,
except for the one that's mildly inappropriate that
I can take
tell.
It.
So.
You can edit it out.
Did you hear why the erectile dysfunction startup nope. failed? It failed to raise
There
capital.
We go. There it was. Yes. Yes.
That was my... once again, direct all comments, feedback, and
That's
hatred to Nancy Lyons.
Yes. NancyLyons.com. There yes, you go. Just bypass my company. Just bring it to me.
Well, we are here at the end of my improv comedy hour, and another thrilling episode of Startup Hustle was brought to you by Fullscale.io. Look, just go to Fullscale.io, and if you fill out the form there, I'll write another dad joke. I'll write another dad joke for every lead that comes. So do it for the community there, people.
I think
do
you've just sabotaged yourself. Friend.
I did have... I watch, we'll get an influx of leads, and I'm just going to be there burning the midnight oil. I even bought a book of like 600 dad wow. jokes that I could like go through. Oh, there was the hat startup that was doing really well. People weren't surprised that they got ahead. why didn't the umbrella startup get funded?
They give up.
The founders were a little shady. I actually have a good one. I'm afraid to put my burn rate on the calendar because afterward my days will be numbered. I can only tell that to entrepreneurs because most people that don't understand what the hell the burn rate is. Yeah, you know, there was a lot of buzz recently around a founder a scarecrow that was a new startup founder. The word on the street was he was really excellent in his field.
Okay, now I feel like
I got called back for an encore. That's how that works.
Didn't you threaten
in my
me
mind,
with the end?
Did.
I think you threatened me with the end, and now I feel like
I did. Yeah. I did. But these jokes are similar to the pitch deck I saw for the anti-gravity startup. They're just really hard to put down.
I mean, I could put them down. Give me a minute. Give me a minute. I'll put them down.
That's all I got. That's the whole lineup. Yeah.
You got it all
on
this show.
You're welcome. Yeah. I'm sorry, listeners. Yeah. Yeah.
Nicely done.
So. I got mixed reviews on social media. I even had a couple people like, you know, do the thing where you can have your reaction and my video mm-hmm. at the same time. And there's one lady that's like either like giving thumbs up or thumbs down. I'm like, come on, they're all good. But, all right. So here we are at the end of another episode of Startup Hustle and my improv comedy hour. On the way out, Nancy, I usually do what I call the founder's freestyle and kind of look back at the best things that were said. We all know those were my jokes mm-hmm. today. So I will just cut to the chase and say, if you had to give a couple tips what are the most important things that we focused on?
Well, I think we did a fine job of talking about the different ways to think about engagement. I mean, we see engagement as a one-sided, you know, ordeal, and it's really about, you know, making people happy. And it's confused a lot with, you know, gimmicky behaviors. And I think engagement can also be an expectation of an expectation we have for the people we work with. Engagement is a dimensional process, and it requires care and feeding every single day. And I think that's what we covered that I'm excited about.
Yeah, when I look back at it, I think the mix you have had a lot of great tips. And then feel free for those of you out there to copy, take any of the things that we've done at Full Scale. I think that I would look at something like we did for Outreach Day. Like, it is just fun to take a day and give back mm-hmm. to your local community. It feels good. It feels good. It looks good. I mean, realistically, we didn't do it for PR, but that kind of naturally mm-hmm. happened, you know, because you'll find that what I found, I'm friends with a lot of our employees on Facebook, is I just saw tons mm-hmm. of posting about them doing it and taking pride in the company that they worked in. And that's mm-hmm. good for recruiting, you know, like that's, you know, so some good things can come from it as well. And that's probably my favorite one out of all the things that we do, because it just has all of this, like, it's just wrapped mm-hmm. in good. And I think that if you know, I'm not a super religious guy, but I do believe in the power of intention. And if you have the intention of creating a good quality community and a fun place to work, and, you know, a fun place to work can exist without having to work inside Chuck E. Cheese mm-hmm. arcade, you know? So, and there's a lot of people that don't want to be mm-hmm. around that too, you know? So I think that overall, you're not going to unleash your employee engagement if you mm-hmm. don't try. You know, like, you got to try some different things and try a bunch of stuff. Take the same outlook I have on entrepreneurship, which is sometimes trying 10 things and mm-hmm. hoping one works, and mm-hmm. keep that one and then try some more, and then ask the community, let the community decide, what do you mm-hmm. want to do? You know, like, what will you participate in? Because if you launch a bunch of stuff that people aren't interested in, then they're mm-hmm. not going to, you know, that's not going to work. And I think the last thing is create a variety of stuff, you know, like, employee engagement shouldn't just have one side or one face to it. Cause that's, you know, with 325 employees, assuming that they all like the same stuff, like, we have a mountaineering club, a basketball team, we have a music club, which, by the way, practices throughout the year to then later perform live at our mm-hmm. Christmas party.
I love it.
I don't have mm-hmm. to hire a band. But they have a lot of fun with it, you know, and, you know, there's, I mean, we got a variety of other things too, like, you know, like, I don't know, there's, mm-hmm. there's a big list. So, and by the way, Nancy, none of that stuff's that right. expensive.
And they usually run with you it, know, like, you know, you ask for it and it happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's it. So if you want to unleash the engagement, you can maybe start by engaging and asking mm-hmm. what people. So, yep. There you go. I got to get back to, I got to write some more material.
And then call me again. All of it, and I'll cue it all show, up for so. You. I'm here.
Yeah. I'm going to actually do another show with you, and I'll tell, because right. you laughed at all of them, or yeah. at least almost all of them. And then I'm going to figure out how to put a laugh track in here to go with that. So it sounds
perfect.
Like, yeah, people actually.
Perfect. I mean, I'm going to invoice you for the all laughter.
All right. I'll let you know when so I have clear. That.
I'll invoice you for the laughter. I just want to. Be clear.
All right. I'll put a budget in it. Q4.
Excellent.
I'll catch up with you down the road.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.